You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the coronavirus pandemic has been a tough time for small businesses, and federal assistance has been in high demand. We'll talk with an official from the Small Business Administration about what help is out there and how to apply. First, we may think that spouses or partners who live together know everything about each other, but when they're suddenly thrown together all day, every day, it can be tough. During this time of social distancing, a lot of couples are spending a lot more time together and under very stressful circumstances, which might include layoffs from work and the financial strain that that brings. Others might be working from home together for the first time or are trying to figure out how caring for kids is going to work when they're unexpectedly home from school as well. All this with the backdrop of not knowing when life is going to go back to normal. With so many aspects to this, we thought it was a good time to check in with Regan Gurung. He is Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor of Psychological Sciences there. Previously, he spent about 20 years at UW Green Bay. Regan, always great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Great to be on.
First, Regan, can I ask, how has this all changed your routines and daily life?
Oh, boy. You know, two kids, 11 and 14, and a wife who also works remotely. I have taken over her office space for this call. So thank you, dear Martha. we're working it out.
Now, let's start with those, two people suddenly both working from home scenario. Are there ways that that people can navigate this up front to avoid a conflict and annoying each other?
Yeah, Rob, actually, before I even answer that, I want to say what amused me about thinking about couples at home and relationships is when you take a look at one of the most popular measures of relationship quality, it's something called the relationship closeness inventory. And the closer you are, the better your relationship and the more likely you are to have a longer, more satisfying relationship. And I think you and listeners may be amused to know that the bulk of the relationship closeness inventory relies on how much time you spend with your partner. Here, I just want to read you one of the items. Think back over the last week and write in the average amount of time per day that you spent alone with your significant other, with no one else around. Think about that, how that has changed for us all in the last five months. So to answer your question, I think the amount of time together is a big factor in relationships. And the difference now is that we are squeezing together many different modalities and aspects of our life all into the same space. Normally, those of us who had to go out and work, you know, we worked out and we came home and our space at home could be home time. Now, context that we work in, it's the same for everything. This, I think, is particularly tough. You mentioned two spouses working at home, but I also think about all these students out there, whether it's K through 12 or in college, who now, instead of having that classroom that they've conditioned for learning, now that same bedroom that they've grown up in, or maybe the dining room table, all of a sudden has to be associated with learning. Just like for us, all of a sudden, our dining room tables or back decks are now have to be associated with work. And I think we're not conditioned for that. So right away, that's something we've all got to get used to. And then on top of that, you have both spouses, and if you have kids in the household, everybody trying to do the same thing at the same time. So this is quite a challenge for the human psyche.
I also want to talk about people dealing with what is in normal times a potential cause of family stress, and that's financial concern. All of a sudden, we have a lot of people who are partially laid off, temporarily laid off, or just full on out of work because of the virus and the shutdowns related to it. What do we know about the kind of stress that can put on a relationship?
Right. I think just any change or transition can be stressful. And I think financial, of course, sickness is a big one. Financial stress is another big one. Any change in status is a big one. So those three big ones, we are experiencing all of them during the pandemic. So I think in many ways, I see coping with the pandemic and pandemics as the perfect storm for relationships, where you've really got to be confident in your relationship. You really got to play up all the strengths so that it can nicely buffer you through these times, because it would be very easy to misattribute your fear, your anxiety, your thoughts due to the situation. It would be very easy to mistakenly have that spill into your relationship. And instead, you want it to go the other way around. You want all the good stuff from your relationship spilling into helping you cope with the stressors out there.
We're talking to psychologist Regan Gurung from Oregon State University, talking about the pressures that people might see in their families, in their relationships, while they're spending a lot more time together, maybe cooped up at home working or not working. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is this you? How are you coping? What are the downsides? Maybe. What are the upsides here? Well, Regan, of course, we have a population out there that might give us a lot of insight. People who have retired, people who have, you know, reached that point in their lives when they're together a lot. And I know it's an adjustment period for a lot of relationships. What can we learn from that?
Yeah, you know, quite a bit. And I think, you know, for folks who listen and go, oh, yeah, but retirees have it easy. They don't have to work and so on and so forth. Well, there's part of that. But really what I think retirees have is there's a more important variable that many of us who aren't retired, or many of us listeners may have as well, which is, and I think this is one of the most important things we can pull, a long time together. Retirees who have spent a long time together, yes, they've got fewer challenges in terms of what they've got to do day to day, in terms of juggling different job commitments because they're retired. But I think one of the biggest strengths that they have as a couple, as from a relationship perspective, is that they've got that time together. And when you have some time together, you can learn the nuances of people. But most importantly, and a psychological factor that is very protective of stress and a good predictor of good relationships, is knowing the other person well. When you know your partner well, both the good things and the bad things, the better you know your partner, the better your relationship. And I think that is something that retirees really have. They have both the time together to know each other, and that is probably one of the biggest buffers that you can have at a time like this. And I think that's what we should get, is the way those people know each other, the way they can finish their sentences or thoughts or anticipate what they're going to do. That level of knowledge can be the strongest thing for a relationship, and especially during these times.
Now, here's another twist I want to throw at you, Regan. In a relationship, you're used to dealing with your partner as, you know, that partner role, the boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, maybe as a co-parent if you have kids. All of a sudden, we're seeing this person in their work self, or maybe they're playing games online with their buddy's self, and it might be a different person than we know. How does that does that throw new wrinkles into things here?
Well, I think it throws new wrinkles into things, but it actually, you know, see pointy above, nicely increases your knowledge of your partner. And you mentioned roles. What the psychological science shows is that both in terms of our own well-being, but especially in terms of our knowledge of our partner, the more roles that we are aware of, the better off we are. And here's why. Let's just say I have two roles in my head. And one of those roles isn't going too well. Well, I've only got one other one to, in quotes, fall back on. But if I have multiple roles, if my sense of myself as a father, as a researcher, as a teacher, as a spouse, the more roles that I have well developed, the more roles that I have to buffer myself when one of those roles may not be going well. So in your example, the more roles that we see our spouses or our partners having, even better, because then our knowledge of them grows, and even both their and our ability to not worry too much about what goes on in one role is accentuated. So, hey, you know what? Having a bad homeschooling day, not a problem. You know, you did great in this domain or in that domain. And I think, you know, that's something that can be really useful in these times as well.
We're talking to Regan Gurung right now about what it's like for couples who are suddenly together all the time because of the need for social distancing. Regan is executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and professor of psychological sciences. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you and your spouse or partner suddenly together all the time? What's been the most surprising part of it overall? Good thing? Not good thing? A little of both? Have you found ways to limit stress on your relationship? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Regan Gurung, Executive Director for the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor of Psychological Sciences there. We're talking about couples suddenly being together a lot more because of the coronavirus and the need for social distancing and how that works and doesn't work sometimes. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your own experience, maybe your own advice for others. Are you and your partner at home together now a lot more than usual? What's been the most challenging, the most rewarding? If one or both of you are working from home, are you seeing a different side of each other? And if you've retired and worked this out already for yourselves, hey, maybe you have some words of wisdom to share. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to your calls now. Sue is on the line in Green Bay. Sue, hello.
Good afternoon. I almost said good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
It all blurs together, Sue. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just was listening to your program. I listen to it every afternoon. And I had the opportunity of 1 year with my husband after he retired, and then he passed away 7 years ago. So I'm finding that I have to live with myself. And I'm, you know, chief cook and bottle washer at a home that I own. I'm finding that the only saving grace for me is my creative outlets and my pets. And I do attend AA meetings online every single day, so that's kind of saved me, but I find it very difficult to not have that person there to buffer what I'm going through, because I see, you know, probably in hindsight that that's probably what he did.
Sue, thank you so much for calling. Sorry for your loss, and thanks for sharing your story. Best to you. Advice for somebody, Regan, in Sue's boat, who doesn't have that support system at home with her right now.
Right. And I think for a range of reasons, somebody may not have their partner at home. I know many of our students who are stuck not being able to get home, their partners are in one place and they're someplace else. And I think there's a whole range of reasons where we may find ourselves by ourselves. And I think this is the time where we really flex and leverage what social media can do for us in terms of reaching out and connecting to people. Because I think as long as we cultivate and develop and really rely on some of our close friends, that can go a long way. It's not the number of people that you know, but it's the quality of support. And especially in Sue's case, I trust and hope that you are in close contact with your good friends and that you talk to them often, frequently, and that can really go a long way. This is the time to truly, activate those networks that you have, and particularly focus on those good friends that you have, because a good close friend can, you know, in some cases be very close to what give you what a spouse or partner can give you.
So very close. Thanks so much for that call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We're talking about how we get along during safer at home times. I'm looking at advice for often couples now, maybe stuck at home together. Maybe we shouldn't say stuck. Maybe that'll make us feel better about it all. You could call it at 800-642-1234. Yeah, Regan, is there a way to, I don't know, take this, instead of talking about it in a negative way, to look at this as a positive opportunity?
Well, I think there are a number of different positive opportunities here. I like to think about this as the fact that all that time that we're saving on commuting and all that, we now have some extra time. don't just let, you know, take that extra time and let it get soaked up with more work and so on and so forth. Literally, take some of that extra time and reward yourself with special solo time with your partner, where, you know, quiet time, solo time, however that may be. I think especially in larger households where there's a lot of childcare and homeschooling supervision, or even taking a caregiving, we are not able to put as much time for our partner. And I think creating that time is something, particularly right now, that is extremely important to do. I mean, I know, you know, time with my wife is often after the kids go to bed. One of the downsides of, or I should say downsides, one of the changes is the kids are staying up a little later. That's more solo time, you know, but my wife and I will go for a walk with the dog just by ourselves sometimes. So we have some time together.
Let's talk a little bit about that parenting situation now with kids at home from school and the pressure to try to keep them learning without making it into a battle. Do you have any thoughts on that, Regan?
I think, you know, the classic, what we've probably been hearing a lot about right now of you know, the advice, such as the very general advice about keeping a schedule and so on is all very good. But I think there's something that that may be really useful that also goes back, Rob, to where you started, which is what are some things for couples to keep in mind? And I think, especially in these times, the ability to carve out space and designate space. And you may have a very small house or a small apartment, but if you can still designate space for different activities, that can go a long way towards helping you even mentally compartmentalize how things are going. If we get into that routine, and especially kids, if they're playing their games and doing their schoolwork and doing everything in that same one chair, that's actually going to be, over the long term, more of a stressor. Get them into the habit of moving around so that they dishabituate to one certain space. Have the, you know, and that moving around can, over the long term, be really helpful in coping with the situation. And something like homeschooling. And I think I must add, you know, all the advice that you hear out there, you have to always say, how does this best work for my context? How does this best work for me as an individual? You know, it's one thing to hear a certain piece of advice, but all of us have to realize there's a great variety in the amount of stress. You know, I have some students on one hand who their biggest stress is that they're bored. On the other hand, I have individuals whose partners are healthcare workers and in the thick of it every day. Those two individuals are going to react very differently to the kind of advice that they hear. And I think we've all got to be doing that.
Do you have thoughts, Regan, on ways we can kind of center the experience of other people's, remembering that as we're going through stuff here, everybody else is going through something, some kind of change here at the very least? How can we keep their anxiety in mind and maybe just be better at cutting each other some slack in this world?
Right. I think, Rob, the key thing to remember is, you know, even when we said, what can we learn from retirees or X or Y, I don't think anybody has it easy right now. You know, the people with spouses at home have a whole set of problems to deal with. The people who are living alone have a whole bunch of problems to deal with. So we've all got problems, different kinds of problems. And I think the thing for us to remember, and my favorite thing that I remind myself of, is this: whether it's a partner or a kid or a friend or a stranger, if they react emotionally, we may have a tendency to think it's because of us or because they are bad people or they have a mean streak or whatever. But I think what we've got to remind ourselves of right now that can be very conducive to keeping relationships going well is to say that may be a function of the stress they're experiencing. It may not be me, it may not be them, it may be the stressor, it may be what's going on here. And I think that's an important reminder, because for many of us, we sort of put the events out there, we try and push it away, we try not to listen to too much news. But the thing with stress is, it can be implicit and it can still work its damage on you.
While I was reading up for this conversation, Regan, I came across some advice. I can't remember who I think it was a therapist, suggested for dealing with conflict, trying to have a ratio in communication, yeah, in a couple, something in the order of 5 positive statements about the other person for every 1 negative. Right. So, like, even if you want to bring up something serious, flood the zone with the good stuff and then get to the maybe some of the less good stuff.
Well, and let me just tweak that. It's not even if you want to bring up something serious. If you react negatively, because gosh, you know, I can't imagine all of us are positive all the time. Even the most positive amongst us, there will be times when we'll be negative. There will be times when we may be irritable or fly off the handle. That's human nature. And that'll happen. When it does, as long as it's matched up by a lot more positive stuff, then you're on a good track.
And briefly, Regan, can you leave us on thoughts on maybe trying to learn to build our resilience in this time?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the key things to do, I think, is really cultivate your social networks and be selective about it. This is not the time to have your energy eaten up by somebody who's negative a lot. Another big thing we learn from retirees is that they maintain a social convoy around themselves, and they are selective about who is in their convoy. They have handpicked their social support networks to give them the good stuff. That's going to build our resilience, is cultivating and selectively nurturing our supportive networks so we've got that good stuff with us.
Regan, thanks a lot for joining us. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Take care.
Regan Goering is Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor of Psychological Sciences there. He spent about 20 years before that at UW Green Bay. Still time to share your thoughts, experiences, and advice. Living at home, maybe with family members, a lot more than you're used to. And if you have that big old convoy of friends you count on in times like this, tell us about that too. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up, we'll talk with an official from the Small Business Administration about resources available for business owners affected by the coronavirus pandemic and the shutdowns that have come out of that. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show, Kate Archer-Kent and her guests share advice on keeping a diary or journal, and you could join in with your own advice and your questions. That's tomorrow morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network. Now, while state and local governments are putting forth plans to reopen their economies, many small businesses continue to face major financial challenges due to public health measures still in place. One source of assistance is the Small Business Administration, which is expected to get an infusion of more than $300 billion from a new relief package in Congress. The House is passing that today. President Trump says he'll sign it. The money will help fund the Paycheck Protection Program and economic injury disaster loans, which ran short on money after being established in the previous recovery bill. They're not the only resources available through the SBA, though, so right now we're taking a look at what help is out there for small business owners. Robert Scott is the SBA's Region 5 Administrator for the Great Lakes Region. He oversees the delivery of financial assistance for states, including Wisconsin. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into the help available, Rob, it's no secret small businesses are getting hit hard right now. What do things look like from your vantage point?
Well, certainly with the Paycheck Protection Program and the $349 billion that the SBA guaranteed in 2 weeks, we did more guaranteed loans in 2 weeks than we did in 14 years. So it shows the need. It also shows the effort by lenders and then certainly the U.S. Small Business Administration to certainly provide help for those small businesses and nonprofits that need it. We are expecting that Congress, they're literally voting right now, is going to reappropriate more funds for the PPP program since it was successful and is showing definite results for its entire purpose.
if a small business owner is out there listening and thinking, hey, I didn't get in that first round. I want to, once this thing passes, I could really use this. What do they do? How do they apply to get on board here?
So it is not a direct lend from the U.S. Small Business Administration, so you would need to go to your local lender. Now, the great thing is at sba.gov /paycheck protection, we actually have a kind of Google map that you can, there's a link that says find a lender. You click on that, you type your zip code in, or whether you, where your business is located or where you are located, and you will be able to find lenders in your region that are currently offering PPP applications so that they can submit it to the U.S. Small Business Administration.
So in some cases, that might be a bank that the business already works with, but it's not necessarily the case. Not every financial institution is participating in this. Is that right?
The vast majority of them, we have now over 5,000 lenders across the country that are participating in the PPP program, but that there are some that are not. But I would say the vast majority, from your major lenders, banking institutions, to credit unions, to community banks, and then there's also some fintechs like PayPal and Cabbage that are also offering PPP loans.
If I, again, if I'm this business owner, if I had applied through my bank previously, but the money had already been gone through, is my application still good for when this new round of money becomes available, this new round of loans, or do I need to start the process over again?
That is a discussion for the small business owner or the nonprofit to have with their lender. With the U.S. Small Business Administration, when we stopped taking applications due to reaching our appropriated amount on the first round of funding for PPP, there was no queue. There was no waiting line. We ceased taking applications, and everything that was in the queue filtered out and certainly has been dispersed. So I would, if I was a person in that situation, I would have a conversation with the lender that you put in your application to ensure that they are going to be putting it in for you.
We're talking to Robert Scott, the Small Business Administration's Region 5 Administrator for the Great Lakes region. That includes, not surprisingly, Wisconsin. We're talking about help available from the SBA for small businesses during the coronavirus pandemic and the shutdowns that are having a big impact on so many businesses. If you have a question, if you're a small business owner yourself or you work for or with one, love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Rob, a lot of focus, of course, on this appropriation from Congress for these loans. That's not the only thing the Small Business Administration does, of course. What are some of the other things that you do that either directly or indirectly might help small businesses here?
Certainly. Now, obviously, you know, a small business nonprofit, they have a lot of capital needs right now, so they need money. So one is obviously the PPP program, but we also have what is called the Economic Injury Disaster Loan that is also available. That is actually a direct lend from the U.S. government for folks that are obviously being injured by this current COVID crisis. So that is another capital program that we certainly offer, since Wisconsin has been designated as a state that can apply for an economic injury disaster loan. Additionally, we have our traditional SBA products, 7A programs, which, you know, folks can go to an SBA lender, and there are existing SBA lenders that are still offering typical like express loans and whatnot, all the way up to $5 million. That one can certainly apply for. Additionally, we have what is called bridge loans that you can get from an SBA express lender of up to $25,000 of quick cash that certainly can be injected. And then finally, we have what is called SBA debt relief. So if you are a current SBA loan holder or going to get a new SBA loan, your payments, principal, everything is deferred for 6 months. No need to pay until 6 months after you get the loan or since the crisis has been declared. Additionally, we do have district offices in Wisconsin. We have one in Milwaukee and in Madison. Certainly, we have staff on hand that will help navigate any issue that a small business or nonprofit has. We do have other state resources that we can certainly point a small business owner to through the Small Business Development Centers, the Women Business Development Centers, and other state and local resources.
Right. If somebody needs instead of or in addition to these kind of bridge loans or other loan products that you work with, they need advice and counseling. Is that something you either provide directly or some of those other organizations you just mentioned you'd be able to refer a business owner to?
Both, actually. So we actually offer our own through webinars on SBA.gov. We also work with an organization that I'm sure most folks are familiar with called SCORE. And then we also work with the business development centers in every state and locality that also offer hands-on business counseling. And again, all of this is what I like to say, paid for already through tax dollars. This is all free to you as a U.S. citizen that you can use these resources. You might as well, you don't have to pay for them. You can sit at your home and stream them on your computer.
Yeah, where do people, how do people get in touch with you if they want that kind of information and advice?
Certainly, you can go to SBA.gov. There's a host of information on there. There's a little feature that you type in your zip code, and it will actually give you the district office information there in Wisconsin. Additionally, it'll also offer other local resources from small business development centers there in Wisconsin, and also the local SCORE chapters contact information as well.
We're talking to Rob Scott, administrator for the Small Business Administration's Great Lakes region, looking at the SBA's resources for businesses affected by COVID-19 and the shutdowns related to it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a business owner yourself, what kind of questions do you have? Are you curious about what types of assistance are available for your kind of business? What financial challenges are you seeing this time? Have you used services that our guest was talking about or gotten in on the loan program passed by Congress? Or do you provide this kind of advice with a state or an extension or a nonprofit organization yourself? Let people know what you do. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Rob Scott with the Small Business Administration about resources available to small business owners. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is that you? Do you have questions about what types of assistance are out there, who qualifies, how to apply? How has your business been affected during this pandemic and the shutdowns? How are you dealing with things? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Bruce is with us in New Glarus. Bruce, hello.
Hello. How are you guys today?
Good. What did you want to ask about, Bruce?
Great. Well, it's an opinion slash conversation and then question. So I'm a small business, and I started the process like the week after they announced the first PPP loans. And the process itself reached a point where I actually had to have my accountant jump in because it was so complicated. So after we got through about 5 days worth of, well, this, we need this, we need this, and then I was approved, and now we're talking 3 weeks, and they keep telling me I'm approved, but on hold. So not to be negative Nelly, but are us small, really small businesses going to see any money on this, or is it just going to be, because I know a lot of the big corporations received theirs, which I'm okay with, but at what, I mean, is everybody going to get covered? And you know, here we are almost 5 weeks, and I'm still staring at no money.
Bruce, thanks for the call. Rob, Bruce saying he applied, he was approved, still no money.
So in the rules for the loan for any lender that is going to do PPP lending, from the date that they submit your application, sir, Bruce, into our system, the SBA system, they have 10 days from that submission of approval from us to the lender to in order to close the loan and disperse all the funds to you as the small business owner. Note that this past Thursday, literally a week ago today, was when we ran out of funding at 10 a.m., you know, a week ago today. So technically, if you were put in the very last moment on Thursday, they're still within that window of under the rules. What I would say, and my advice to you, sir, is have a conversation with your lender who certainly took your application and submitted it to us. If you do not get a satisfactory answer from them, I am going to give you contact information for our district office there in Wisconsin where they can follow up with your lender. Again, the number there in Wisconsin for the SBA district office is 414-297-3941. Again, have a conversation with your lender and make sure that, you know, everything is fine, and they're certainly going to disperse the funds to you.
Good luck to you. Can I read that number back? I got 414-297-3941. Did I get that right?
That is correct.
All right. Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Molly now in Weston. Molly, hi.
Hi. So I'm a very smallest of the small businesses. I'm a graphic designer and a very tiny print shop. I'm a one-man operation, so I don't really have any employees. So I did apply now for the second wave of the PPP loan for us smallest people, and I'm awaiting, working with my banker on that, and they're being really great getting me all ready for the second wave. So I'm thankful for that. But my question to you is, initially when this first started, on the SBA website, there was a place to apply for an economic injury disaster loan. And immediately I went through and applied for that, and I received a confirmation that said, you know, we received your application and we're processing it, or, you know, whatever. But I since then have not heard anything, and there's nowhere on the SBA website to plug in that confirmation number and see what the status of that loan is. And you don't hear anything anymore about the economic injury disaster loan program. Everything you hear is always about the PPP loan program. So I'm just wondering, you know, kind of what's going on with that portion of the package.
Molly, thanks. Rob, what would you tell her?
Absolutely. So what she's referring to is in our disaster department, the economic injury disaster loan. And a part of that is there was a change mid-course under the CARES Act that Congress had made, which actually offered an advance option as well. So you would be able to actually apply for an advance on those funds, and then overall, apply for more funds for the injury to your business, whether you're, you know, an LLC, S corp, C corp, or as she described, like a sole proprietor, one type self-employment shop. So what I will say is that they are in process. There have been disbursements to Wisconsin, I know. What I'm going to do is give you our SBA Customer Service Center phone number, where they can actually look up your application. And my computer just crashed. Give me 1 second. But basically what the issue was is that there was overwhelming demand for this program. And again, right in the middle of it, we actually had issues, you know, when Congress had stepped in and changed the program. So we had to kind of delay the program in order to institute Congress's wishes. And then just so you know, that customer service line is 1-800-827-5722. There's folks there, and they actually are there right now, all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern time, that will actually answer any of your questions, and you give them that confirmation number, and they'll be able to look up the status of your application. Again, that number is 1-800-827-5722.
All right. Hope that helps. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Rob Scott, administrator for the Small Business Administration's Great Lakes region, answering your questions now about coronavirus relief from the federal government and other services available from the SBA for small businesses. Back to your calls now. Ben is with us in Green Bay. Ben, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Ben?
I just wanted to bring up that there's a lot of relief and resources about small businesses. My concern is that I'm a small business and I just started and I'm still in the red. You know, I'm not necessarily making a profit yet. Do you have any advice or resources on startup companies and what we should do through this?
Interesting, Ben. Thanks and good luck to you. Rob, what do you think?
One, I would actually contact our district office, and there's a lot of local resources for startups, specifically through the small business development centers that can certainly help you. The other thing is that you still can actually apply for both the economic injury disaster loan as well as the PPP program, depending on when your business started. So be sure to reach out to our district office. They'll help navigate that process for you. And the number there is 414-297-3941.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to, Joe is with us, Lake Halley. Joe, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to ask about, Joe?
Oh, sorry. I didn't know I was on yet. Yes, I have a rental property business. I own a few rentals. Actually, I live in Wisconsin now, but they're all over in Minnesota. And I actually attempted on a couple of those iterations of that disaster loan, and I thought I had a good app put in. It was actually the last version, I believe, that kind of three-pager. But the thing is, I don't really have a quantifiable damage yet. I do have, you know, some tenants that have been affected, and there is some rent that's not being paid, but I have been fortunately be able to, pay all my bills this month. So I'm wondering, do I qualify and what I should do?
Joe, thanks for the call. Rob?
So you would qualify for an economic injury disaster loan. And what I would say is, again, call the customer service line. You can also, we're going to be opening it up for more applications since we're getting more reappropriated money for the program likely. So you'll be able to essentially modify your application if the injury, you know, is greater, certainly than, what you basically speculated as. Unfortunately, on rental properties, if it's for the actual rental properties and not a management company, you will not qualify for the PPP loan due to it being passive income. I do know, again, there's a lot of local resources that you may be able to qualify for in order to kind of fill that gap, but you would qualify for the economic injury disaster loan.
Thanks a lot for that call, Joe. Lynn joins us now in Kewaunee. Lynn, hi.
Hi. I didn't apply for a loan. I don't need a loan. I'm a self-employed barber. And I finally got to apply for unemployment Tuesday. And I tried getting help online filling it all out, but it was busy the whole time. So I did the best I could. And I was instantly denied because they said I didn't make enough money the last quarter of the year, but I didn't even fill that out because I haven't done my taxes for last year yet because of the extension to the 15th of July.
Lynn, thanks for the call. Rob, we're just about out of time. I know the unemployment, I think, is run through a different agency, but any thoughts for Lynn as a self-employed barber when it comes to loans or unemployment?
Absolutely. You would qualify, sir, for both the economic injury disaster loan and the PPP loan. Now, no, the PPP loan is a loan, but it's a forgivable loan, and it would be available to you as a sole proprietor, and it would provide you 8 weeks of essentially pay that you would be paying yourself with 75% of the loan being part of that, and then 25% you could use for any expense associated with your business, making it 100% a forgivable loan. So I certainly encourage you, sir, to seek out your local lender and apply for the PPP loan.
Lynn, thanks for that call, and good luck navigating the unemployment situation if you keep working on that. And Rob, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Rob Scott, Administrator for the Small Business Administration Great Lakes Region, answering your question about different business loans and services available during shutdowns. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, it's this week's edition of Food Friday, and Waste Not, Want Not is going to be our starting point. Our guest will share advice for cooking the scraps, bits, and pieces that we might usually throw away. That and a lot more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's The Morning Show with Kate Archer-Kent. Tomorrow at 8, it's a weekly Friday roundup of questions from kids with a science correspondent, this time from the Netflix show Brainchild. That's tomorrow at 8 on The Morning Show. Up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we're living slower-paced lives right now, so why not send some slower mail? We'll hear from two guests who think we should all send a little more snail mail, and we'll get some advice on how to get artistic about it. And you can share your correspondence habits if you love writing and receiving letters. Tell us about it over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.